Hey Stackers, becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you earn more and save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than your standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you could start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal's savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project? Maybe you want to consolidate debt? You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity, with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing costs, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Both options could help make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loans subject to approval.
Live on the Fireside app, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Duggan. How can you improve your investing game? Today, to help us answer that question, we welcome the guy teaching you how to better invest on Twitter and YouTube, Brian Feraldi. That's weird. I didn't know Twitter and YouTube were investment platforms. I can't wait to see what he's going to tell us. Then, we welcome the two-time trivia and investing champ here in the basement from LenPenzo.com. It's Kathy Wood. Nah, she's busy just trying to rebound from last fall's tech knockdown, so it's just Len Penzo. And finally, we also welcome a woman I'm honored to know, my personal hero, perennial Mensa calendar girl. Wait, oh yeah, who also happens to write the script I'm reading right now and who isn't allowing me to say what I really think, which would be something more like a mouth-breathing failed sandwich artist who collects perfume from magazine inserts. It's money writer and writing coach Paulette Perach. And now, a guy who's way funnier than God damn it, Paulette! Jeez! It's Joe Saul Sehy. Man! She gets me every time.
I think she definitely got you there, but that was, you brought it hard. That was horrible, man.
Yeah, I wasn't even the one who slammed her at the beginning. She should have been going after Len.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Doug's first beep out of the year. I'm Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. And if that's the way we're beginning the year, guess what's going on this episode? We're going to have a lot of fun diving into investing. And to do that, we start off with the man who's invested in a bunker deep under Los Angeles. Mr. Len Penzo is here.
Happy New Year, everybody.
How was your New Year's Eve, my friend?
Oh, well, it was quite good. We cooked up a prime rib. And played some games and rung in the new year. And I overall was really good.
I guess my invitation got lost in the mail.
I guess it did. I will say this, though. I am in the middle of reading this new book that I have just received called Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. And it is riveting, Joe, and very funny, by the way. Well, congratulations to you and Emily.
Well, thanks, man. Thank you. I did not expect that, but I'm glad that you have it and glad you liked it. So I don't know what to say. But let's just say this. We have the woman not only behind the writing here. You've seen her in the New York Times. You've seen her all over the financial media pages. She's the person behind the fund when you tell your boss to go kiss themselves, I guess we'll say. Paulette Perhatch is here. How are you?
I'm still processing what Doug said. It cuts deep. I know. My sandwiches are artistic, and that's how I got my start, actually. So that's fine, Doug. I'll keep writing your part, Doug. You just wait and see. Right.
I think no matter what, Doug, she's getting the last laugh because she writes your stuff. It's like, not that great. You know, have you seen Paulette? I know you like a lot of comedians. Have you seen Jim Gaffigan talking about Subway sandwiches and the sandwich artist at Subway?
I have not. I've seen him talking about many, many things, but I missed that one.
He talks about how the sneeze guard maybe should be the other way. So, It's fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, it's about time we got him here. He is a gentleman teaching people all over Twitter and YouTube how to do better investing, how to analyze stocks, how to evaluate investment portfolio. Brian Feraldi joins us. Brian, finally, welcome to the show, man.
What a pleasure to be here. What a fun group we have tonight.
You're just thinking, what the hell am I doing here, aren't you?
That's exactly it. But you guys have great introduction music, so, you know, it's going to be a good time.
That's it. Yes. We have that's what we're known for, is the introductory music.
Really,
yes.
Dude? The music is what you were focused on there?
that is
the
it.
The show sucks.
Well, let's start with your YouTube channel, because you and a co-host dive in and you take a look at different stocks. But tell everybody what you do there.
So on my YouTube channel, me and my co-host Brian Stoffel teach people how to research stocks from the ground up. So we have a series where we basically take a company we've never heard of before and we research it live over the course of an hour, digging into fun things like SEC statements and press releases and earnings transcripts. It's a ball of a good time. But if you're a money nerd into individual stock investing, you can learn a lot.
Well, and what I like about it, Brian, is that a lot of people focus on these short-term technical things about a stock, or they just hear somebody at work, right? You've heard this phrase, buy what you know. But as you know, that's just the top of the funnel. If you know a company, you guys actually dig into understanding what the company does and the fundamental heartbeat of what they do.
Yeah, exactly. So we try and teach people, if they get a stock pick from somebody at work or they hear something, how do you actually go about researching the company? Like, how do you actually do that? That's not something that people are ever really taught. So we show the way that we do it from start to finish.
It's super cool. And then for an introduction, I think to you though, Brian, your Twitter feed's pretty damn fun.
Oh, thank you. I started taking Twitter semi-seriously about 2 years ago. And like many people, I just thought Twitter was a toxic wasteland of political arguments and stuff like that. But it turns out that if you use Twitter the right way, it's actually an amazing platform for connecting with people, meeting people. I can't tell you how many wonderful people I've gotten to meet in person thanks to having a presence on Twitter.
So well, yeah,
it's an underrated, overlooked platform.
It is. You told me that when you and I first met, actually. I said, oh man, Twitter. And you're like, well, what's on your Twitter feed? You can decide what you put on your Twitter feed and you can make it fun. But I'm glad that you're here with us, Brian. We got Brian here. We got Paulette Perhatch. We've got Len Penzo. Doug's here. Time for us to dive in. But first.
Hey there, everybody. Want to give a shout out to all of our service members and their families for keeping us safe both here and abroad. And thank you so much to the family members who hold the fort down. Thank you for keeping us safe here in America and all of our interests overseas as well. You know, this is Military Appreciation Month, and Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. They offer member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to help empower their members to help them reach their goals. Here's one of our offers in honor of Military Appreciation Month. Join and get $50 when you open a credit card. Here's the disclaimer. You got to join and open your membership savings account between May 1st and May 31st. The annual percentage yield is 0.25% for membership savings accounts, $5 minimum balance to open. You got to maintain the membership savings account to obtain the bonus. Check all this out at NavyFederal.org for full terms and conditions. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate to see all the Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Well, don't worry. Betterment is here to help. Betterment's the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal, rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line, and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money's breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money in the same way again. Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. All right. And now Let's dive into making your investment portfolio better in 2022. How about that music, Brian? Is that pretty good?
Fantastic. You guys are just top notch. It's amazing.
DJ's first, Money Talk second. This piece is written by a blogger, Bella Winana. Bella actually up for best new blog at the Plutus Awards this last year. And I love a lot of Bella's stuff. These are the 8 most common investing pitfalls to avoid. And she walks through the 8 different ones. But Paulette, let's start with you. Number 1 on her list of things to avoid if you're an investor, investing more than what you can afford to lose. Do you think that's number 1 on the list of things to avoid?
Well, you know, I feel like this might be a little, I think just her wording might be a little tricky for people who think that investing is always gambling, right? If you are just following the S&P 500, like, you're probably not going to lose that. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I am the money writer and not the investment professional as you are. But I think that you can invest with really low risk and not pretty much plan on not losing that money. So, you know, I would say at the different levels of risk, you don't want to like put anything in crypto that you can't afford to lose, which she does mention here.
Yeah, I think I'm totally with you, Paulette. I think there's 2 different levels here. Len, were you surprised to see this as number 1, that like investing equals gambling?
Yes. And for Paulette, Paul made a great point. I think a little editing here would be perfect. If you just took out the words to lose, that would be a better way to put it. Investing more than what you can really afford beyond what your normal living expenses are.
Which is much, much closer to just invest as much as you can.
Yeah, because the lose part, I mean, that's, boy, that gets you off on a bad footing right away. That instantly makes you kind of feel like it might be discouraging to continue reading, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, and so in that case, I am a little bit surprised that that's number 1 in the fact that it's just investing more than you can afford. I don't think that's the first thing you should be worried about.
Brian, the second paragraph here, she dives into recommending that you focus on setting up your emergency fund before you start investing. When you talk to people that are brand new investors, do you recommend starting with emergency fund, or can you do both those at the same time, invest and do the emergency fund?
I'm actually a big fan of setting up an emergency fund prior to investing, and that's how I'm going to interpret what she's saying as well. I'm going to interpret that as basically investing before you're ready to start investing. So lots of people want to dive in when they start investing, and the first thing that a lot of people want to hear about is what stock is going to go up 100x tomorrow. Right. Like, that's the thing that people are interested in. But it's like, time out. Let's back up. Do you have any credit card debt? How about we eliminate that first? Do you have an emergency fund set up? Let's get that in place. So if you have all of that in place, then you can start investing. So that's how I'm going to interpret number 1.
Wait a minute, though, Brian. The whole reason you were here is with your YouTube channel, you're supposed to be telling us which stock is going to go up 100% in the next 7 days. So
you're saying I'm being inconsistent there?
That's right. Yeah. I want to know which stocks. The whole reason we had you on was to get the hot stock tip so that we can be bajillionaires overnight.
Yeah, I want to know that too. So if you figure that out, would you let me know too?
I'm going to stick with you for just a second though, Brian, because number 2, I also, let's get your take. Do you think that understanding your risk tolerance level, she says, mistake number 2 investors make, that they don't understand the risk tolerance level. Should that be second on the list?
Oh yeah, I think that is appropriately put. And I would say one really strange thing about your risk tolerance is what your risk tolerance is in theory and what your actual risk tolerance is are often two wildly different things. When you're talking with somebody and they're like, can you take it if your stock portfolio falls 20%? That's really easy to say. But when you're actually holding stocks that fall 20%, that's when you really find out what your risk tolerance is. So I would say that having a risk tolerance, having what you think your risk tolerance is and what your actual risk tolerance is are two different things.
It's funny. Brooke Miller, who is the brilliant writer behind our newsletter, The 201, to subscribe to that is stackybenjamins.com/201. Brooke writes, in her experience, the biggest disconnect between strategy and reality is in risk tolerance. And you've got to see this, Len, at work. I've got to imagine over the years during your career, just the times when you hear people talk about these hot stocks is always when the market's going up. And then I'll bet those conversations faded in 2001, 2008, right?
Yes. And that is true. And let me add one more thing about your risk tolerance. So, because Brian makes a good point. If you really believe you have a high risk tolerance, then here's a piece of advice for you. And really, if you can't handle it, then you're probably fooling yourselves. If you believe you have a high tolerance for risk, you shouldn't be checking your stocks every day or even every week. Mm-hmm. You should probably, you know, let them go and let them run and only check them very infrequently, because if your risk tolerance is truly lower than you think it is, you're going to get very sick and you're going to probably bail out prematurely if your stocks take a bad turn. So,
yeah. And what's funny about that is that, you know, when OG, who's obviously has the day off today, when OG talks about having 100% equity portfolio, he also always says, Len, that the problem is in stocks. The problem is you, because that gives you a hell of a roller coaster ride and a lot of people can't handle it.
Yeah. And for me right now, there's certain stocks that I do have a high risk tolerance for, and I do not look at them very often, because some of those stocks, it's just, they have a high standard deviation usually. And what that means is they can go up and they can go very bigly and they can go down very bigly. And they don't act like nicer stocks like, you know, your big Apples and your, maybe, is that a good one? The ones that don't move more than 2 or 3 or 10, now these days, 10% in a year. Okay. So they don't hover around zero to any degree very far, but these high risk stocks, they can go really high and they can go really low just as quickly. And that will whipsaw you. And if you can't handle it, then you're fooling yourself about what your risk tolerance is.
Paulette, you have a new course coming out for writers. And I'm wondering if go up bigly is a phrase that you teach people to write.
Yeah, it's go up very bigly. You can check it out at goupverybigly.com.
I think it's me go up bigly.
Yeah, I joke, but I'm sure that Len could buy and sell me. So who's laughing now?
but Paulette, let me ask you this, though. I actually did disagree with our guest, with Brian. I don't think you do start here. And tell me which one of us you agree with. I'm going to put you on the fence, which is, I don't know that you start with understanding your risk tolerance level. I think you start with your goals and what risk you need to take to get those goals. And then you ask yourself if that risk is acceptable or not. And so rather than deal with some quiz and figure out what your risk tolerance is, doesn't it make sense first to figure out what risk you need to take?
I think I think that's the fun of diversification, which is like, okay, I'm going to take 5% and I'm going to put it in these crazy stocks and like, enjoy the roller coaster, you know? That's why I have freelancers go through, we have an executive meeting every week, but then also just your monthly money check-in. So I check my stocks just monthly, right? And I don't freak out when I see, you know, the stock market going crazy, because, you know, I'm 40. I probably won't retire until I'm 120 and half robot. And so I think it all has to do with, you know, how much time you have and knowing that your bases are covered, right? Where it's like the low risk that I invest in is I know that I'm not going to be eating cat food when I retire. And then everything else is like, will I have a yacht or not? And hopefully the answer is yes. Or maybe Len will help me and I can go out on Len's.
Paulette, we've said before,
the Menza cover girl.
We said before, they call it fancy feast for a reason. It's very, it's very fancy. It could be good. Have we used that joke on the show before?
Don't think so.
I don't know. I was asking
Joe, Paulette. Now I'm conscious of what words I'm going to use, Paulette. I was going to say I'm going to pile on here, but
judging
the gooder ones, Len.
But when you're buying certain stocks, you're going to treat how you buy those stocks based on your goals, because you make – that's a great point, Joe. It's based on your goals going to be how you treat your stocks. And I'm going to give, for an example, one of my – I talk about these mining stocks that I've been in for several years now. We're getting really beat up. But I took a flyer on a speculative stock a couple years ago. I bought it at – I think it was 42 cents basically. Actually, I dollar cost averaged it into 42 cents. But my goal was I was going to set that one and forget it, because I knew that it wasn't going to hit pay dirt for 5 or 6 years down the road. Well, about 9 months ago, it spiked to about 90 cents. So it more than doubled. Okay. But my goal was, hey, I'm going to hold this for the long term because I believe it's going to go to $9 a share or $20 a share. Well, so if my goal was more near term and it's like, hey, I want to try and just speculate and make a really quick buck, I would have jumped out probably once it doubled, or at least taken part of the chips off the table. I didn't. Right now, and this is the problem with you when you're constantly checking your stocks, that same stock is like 32 cents, right? So now I'm underwater, but it's okay. I truly can handle that risk, but you know, that's the way it is. If I couldn't, I would have probably bailed out of it now at a loss. But you really do have to set your goals and know why you're investing and how you're going to hold it and for how long you're going to hold it.
Hey Joe, I like the end, Len. I like this notion of figure out what your goal is and let that dictate your approach. But what do I do? I mean, what would a friend of mine do if my goals dictate that I have to be really aggressive, therefore higher risk, but I have low risk tolerance? I've now put myself to, should I just go ahead and hire the, should my friend hire the therapist now? what if I'm caught in that?
No, I think that's
that ugly spot.
Yeah. I think that's great, because I think that's when you have to talk about changing the goal. I think you have to talk about, is this really a realistic goal? Can I go get that goal? Is there a way to mitigate that goal? And I'll give you an example. There was a person back when I was a financial planner that I worked with who wanted to live in a house in Lake Michigan. And she had started saving late and she couldn't do that. She couldn't afford that property. However, across the road, on a hill, there was this old Victorian house and it had a wonderful view of Lake Michigan. It wasn't actually on the lake, and she was a people person and she had some business skills. She was able to actually take that house, turn it into a bed and breakfast. Now, she had to work during her quote retirement years, but she still woke up with Lake Michigan. She wasn't directly on the water and she was bringing in enough money that it covered the gap in her portfolio. So she was able to take some evasive action rather than, you know, turn her stock portfolio into a casino. I wanted to ask you about that, Brian, because, you know, financial planners will tell people if they have exchange traded funds or mutual funds, maybe rebalance, right? Once, maybe twice a year. When you own individual stocks, do you need to weed the garden more often than that? Do you look once a month? Do you look once a week? How often do you look at your stuff?
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to this question. I think it's more about your own risk tolerance. I tend to tell you that when you play in the market like I do, and I buy individual stocks, that's where the bulk of my net worth actually is in individual stocks. One of the biggest mistakes that you can actually make is quote unquote rebalancing your portfolio too often. And one thing that I've learned the hard way is that actually what actually happens in the market is that a very, very, very small minority of companies drive the vast majority of the market, very much the Pareto principle, right? The 80-20. And what can happen in your portfolio is if you're trying to constantly rebalance, it's very common for people to want to sell their winners and buy more of their losers. Mm. And Peter Lynch actually calls this cutting your flowers and watering your weeds. And what one thing that's actually the smart thing to do more often than not is actually the exact opposite. It's actually selling your losers and buying more of your winners, which is just so unnatural. It's such a counterintuitive thing to want to do, but it just because a stock up and it's up a
did we lose him?
This is,
man, I was on the edge of my seat. I was waiting for that bit.
this is the fun of live radio. right here. I thought, I almost said, Len, what happened to your, so wait a minute, it wasn't Len. It was actually Brian, and Brian is gone. But Len, any idea where he was going with that?
Well, no. What he's saying is basically pressure winners, which is, you know, I get, you know, that's, and I know a lot of people that say that.
And I think that's also the difference between owning individual positions where a momentum play makes sense versus in an index. An index is going to be self-cleaning, right? I mean, your losers are going to wash out the bottom. So rebalancing where you don't have an individual, a single stock makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, well, and pressing your, I think pressing your winners too, in an index. Well, it depends if the market's, you know, if you're in a bull market or a bear market. But in a bull market, with, like we've been in for a long time, I think pressing your winners is that it works. And you, but in a down market, it's the reverse. I think I don't know if it's in an index. I don't know if that's so such a good idea.
See if we got Brian back.
I'm here. Yeah, I've been in and out. Sorry about that.
There he is. That's all right. But you were talking about, I don't know how much of that you caught, Brian, but pressing your winner is exactly the opposite of what you'll do with an index.
Well, actually, if you crack open an index, what actually drives the index's returns over time? It's actually that exact same principle. It's the big winners that drive the huge returns of the index over time.
Well, that's what I was just thinking, yep. Brian, was that the S&P 500 in 2021 could have been called the S&P 6, right?
Or that's
the
right.
S&P 7, yeah.
That's exact right. Basically, if you had those top seven stocks in your portfolio, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Google, Netflix, Nvidia, etc., you did very well. And if you didn't, you did not. It was really that simple. But that's how the market actually works. It's only like 5% of stocks that end up driving like 90% of the market's returns, which is just again why I want to say that it's, if you're going to be holding individual stocks, you want to make sure that you are not selling your winners to buy more of your losers. However, with all of that in mind, that's just the stock portion of your portfolio that I'm talking about. I still think it makes sense to zoom out and consider your entire financial picture and rebalance if you're going to be in cash, in bonds, in real estate, whatever. That still makes good sense to do annually or biannually or whatever time period you choose.
Hey, I got just one more question before we go to our midpoint break. Number four on Bella's list here is blindly following the advice of unqualified individuals. Brian, you're in the Wild West. You're on Twitter. And there's a lot of people spewing advice that we will I actively groan about. Like if I'm somebody listening to the Stacking Benjamin show, how do I know who to follow and who not to follow? I'm looking at a place like Twitter.
That is a fantastic question, because if you go on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, you're going to get a whole bunch of information thrown at you. And it is really hard to figure out who actually knows what they're talking about and who doesn't. So on our channel and on my Twitter account, I try and focus on the teaching people how to do it, as opposed to saying, here's something to buy, go blindly follow me and buy this thing. So I would say gravitate more towards the people that are focused on education, not on here, do this thing right now. It's going to make you money tomorrow.
Wait a minute. So we're not getting any stock tips from you today? What's going on, Joe? What's up with this? Whoa. Come on, Brian.
Brian, we had a deal.
Well, I'll send them to you by text. How's that?
Ideal. You know, I love what you're saying there, Brian, because our friend Roger Whitney says any financial planner who starts with product and not process, you should run. And it sounds like you're saying the exact same thing about Twitter or any other social media page.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter is a resource. YouTube is a resource. TikTok is a resource, right? I actually love going on those places to get ideas as just kind of like a first brush to build up like a potential list. But from there, I would never just blindly buy anything just because ABC influencer owns it. But if you're looking for a place to just get ideas that you can then go on to research and see if they match your criteria, I think those platforms are great for that.
And Doug, there's a problem with your portfolio right there.
I follow Doug's advice. Is that bad? Should I be?
Well, on that note, we're going to take a little break here and we're going to begin our 2022 trivia challenge. This is a year-long competition between our three main contributors, Len Penzo, OG, who has the day off, and Paula Pant from Afford Anything, who also has the day off. You know, usually when we have somebody not on the panel, we often replace them with a person, and I don't think this is on purpose most of the time, but somebody who's the same sex. But this time, because I just realized we always do that, we're gonna mix it up. So Brian, today you are kicking off the year on behalf of Paula Pant from Afford Anything. And there's good news, bad news there, Brian. You want the good news first or the bad news?
Give me the bad news first.
Well, the bad news is she finished last year. But that means the good news is you get to guess last, so you're going to see what the two other answers are before you have to guess, which is great. Which brings up the other bad news, which I have for you, Paulette.
What?
Yes, you're playing on behalf of
Paulette Perhatch.
I know there's too much alliteration, too much going on there. So Paulette, you're going to be OG.
Oh, I'm responsible for OG's first point of the year,
which means that you won last year. Congratulations, Paulette, as the person that designed for at least the last third of the year, designed a lot of these questions.
Oh, so you're the one.
Sorry, Len.
I shouldn't have said that with Len. Now Len's like, and I like you so much, Paulette. Yes, it's her fault, Len. The cool thing about this one that Paulette knows is we locked her out of the script, and this was not written by Paulette. So Doug, you ready to do some trivia?
Yeah, I've been waiting for what feels like 2 hours listening to you money nerds talk about smart stuff. So yeah, I think I've been ready for a long time.
Here's what's going to happen for those of you new to our trivia challenge. It's the closest contributor, not without going over, just the closest. So you can be over. So here we go. Doug's usually rant and trivia question.
Hey there, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and welcome to my trivia. Since Paulette is on today's show, we didn't let her contribute to the trivia, and without that boat anchor bringing me down, I am now free to say whatever I want. Oh, this is going to be great. Now, let me think of a good one. You know, I could go with... No, that wouldn't be good. Or wait, how about the time that Paulette? No, that's not funny. She'd be mad at me for saying that. Oh, what about the? Yeah, we can't say that on the air. We wouldn't be here very long if I did that. Damn it! All right, how about if I just ask a trivia question? Earlier, when I was joking around about Len Penzo, I mentioned Kathy Wood, the legendary investor leading ARK Invest. Not familiar with Kathy or ARK? Kathy Wood is not only the CEO and CIO of ARK Invest, but her ARK Innovation Fund is the largest actively managed exchange-traded fund on the planet. Before forging her own path, Kathy worked for the Capital Group, home of American funds, also for AllianceBernstein and other big-name investment houses. But here's today's trivia question. On what month and year did Kathy register ARK Invest Advisors with the SEC? I'll be back with the answer after I go look up the answer, because I had to write the question myself and I forgot to get that piece of information.
Very, very important detail. We might as well get the answer as long as we're doing this. So we start then, Paulette, with you. And no good jokes in that one, Paulette. He couldn't come up with anything.
Well, hey, what do I know? I'm just a failed sandwich artist.
But you also get the opportunity to go first. And it feels to me sometimes like Kathy Wood has been rocking investments forever. But is that true? When did she register ARK Invest?
Oh, so she worked for some. Okay. I'm going to go with January 2011.
January 2011.
And I'll tell you where I got that answer.
Sure.
Directly out of my brain.
I don't like how she paused before brain.
Mr. Penzo.
This is an interesting question because it can't be that many years. So we've got a very, again, I have no freaking clue.
It can't?
Well, there's no way. This. What do we got? A narrow range here? When did you say? 2011?
Yeah, she said,
at 11.
She said January 2011.
All right. I don't think it's that old. But I don't have much wiggle room here because this is only 2022.
Way to get the year right, Len, because that's the first thing to go.
Huh?
I said, way to get the year right because that's the first thing to go.
What?
I don't know.
Because you know it's 2017.
Well, it's been around a couple years for sure. So that would be, that's like 2019. But I've got to go. All right, I'm going to say 20. I'll say January 2015.
January 2015. So, Brian, you got January 2011 from Paulette / OG, and then January 2015 from Len. What are you thinking about Kathy Wood?
Whew, my gut feel was going to say January 2016, but I think I can say February 2015.
Here we go.
Here, right? Nice. So I'll go February.
Here we go.
It's his first time on the show, but not his first rodeo. Brian.
Dang you, Brian.
Brian, Chelsea Brennan's Len Penzo on the top end. Well, we'd love to tell you if that strategy worked, but we don't play that way. We'll be right back.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Paulette, you started with 2011, and it looks like neither Len nor Brian thinks that Kathy's been investing that long. What do you think? You feeling confident?
Well, I feel like someone said she was in the game for a long time, so I went with that.
Well, we were about to find out, but Len, 2015.
Well, I think I'm screwed. I think Brian, Chelsea Brennan, me effectively, I don't think that she's been around that long. And I would have normally, I would have picked like 2018 or 2017, but I was trying to play the game here and I got double crossed.
Brian,
darn you, Brian.
Brian, you're pretty confident that it's after January 2015?
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty confident, but I don't know if that's false confidence or not. I do know that she has active ETFs, which are a relatively new thing. She
not
was one of the
many.
Pioneers. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Not that money and knocking it out of the park.
I'm feeling pretty good. The pleasure of going last.
Well, and let's see if it's warranted or not. Doug, here we go.
Hey, Stackers, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and what a big relief it is to be free of the chains of Paulette's writing for a day. I can say whatever I want for this trivia question because Paulette didn't write it. As an example, I could talk about how smart I am, but you know, everybody already knows that. I could show you my guns. Which way to the gun show? But it's an audio-only format, sadly for you. Or, you know, I could just get to my trivia, which I think probably I ought to do. So the question was this. On what day did famous investor Kathy Wood register ARK Invest Advisors with the SEC? Kathy named ARK Invest after the Ark of the Covenant, famous for the Indiana Jones movies. What? It was in that book too? Oh, well, apparently it's been mentioned in another big publication as well. But, you know, the answer is Kathy registered ARK in January of 2014 and has been racking up impressive returns ever since. And that means Brian's guess is 13 months off, but Len is our big winner at exactly 12 months off. Brian, you could have gone either way with that, and you went the wrong direction.
Not around as long as people think, huh?
didn't quite work. Did not quite work.
Way to go, Len.
All right, it's a long season. I want that trophy,
like,
though.
I still have plenty of time to screw it
I'm
up.
I'm jealous of OG. I want that trophy. I saw that thing. I want it.
that's the worst trophy ever, isn't
Man
it?
On a mission.
It is just horrible. If you haven't checked that out on our social media yet, you got to go see the worst trophy in history that our producer Karen picked out. All right, here we go into part two. Welcome to the second half of our discussion on building a better investment portfolio in 2022. Second half of our discussion here brought to you by Magnify Money. Brian, you know what happens when you go to stackybenjamins.com/magnifymoney?
Everything becomes wonderful.
It is. You're skipping wherever you go. It's incredible. Nice job. When you go to stackybenjamins.com/magnifymoney, did I need to say forward? Just /magnifymoney. You find that all those brick and mortar bank products you use, probably not best in class. In fact, Magnify Money lists over 92% of all of the products available head-to-head. So whether it's CDs, which are finally starting to pay a little bit, savings accounts, checking accounts for no fee, whatever it might be, stackybenjamins.com/magnifymoney has it all. And so we're going to stop following this piece by Bella Wanana. And by the way, thank you to Bella for writing this. It gave us a lot of fodder. And the rest of her list, by the way, mixing emotions with investing, that's a big one that maybe somebody will be bringing up here soon. Impatience, buying back stocks too quickly after you sell. We saw that bite people. Wash sale rules, actually, bite people in the butt. Not understanding tax consequence of transactions. I think those are probably the same thing. But let's start with Paulette. Paulette, when you're putting together your portfolio or thinking about your portfolio in 2022, what are one of the ideas about your portfolio that you want to make sure that you get right?
Well, I was just sitting here with my abacus smoking as I was making my decisions. I think the most important thing for me is automating. I just realized that the amount that I had automated, which I started after I watched Nomadland, and I was like, okay, that I don't want to live in a van. I'm going to start saving or investing 10%. I started just automatically investing that. And then I realized that I had really just divided my account, the amount of my paycheck that I got. I had really started to forget about that I wasn't even feeling it anymore because I was so used to living on the other amount. So I think just automating your contributions as much as possible. I know that I need to get a human involved. I do use Betterment at this point, but very soon we're going to have a conversation, Joe, and you can become my expert.
Don't look at the time. I don't know if that's, I got out of that. I got out of that business for a reason, Paulette. Love to help.
So for now, for me, it is automated. And so I don't have to think about it. Right. And then I try not to think about it as much as possible. Obviously you need to have your strategy and then make your choice and go with it. And keep your emotions out of it. And I think by not messing with it all the time, I am able to keep my emotions out of it and automating as much as possible.
Oh, this is a great topic, Paula, because I got to imagine, Len, with your career of working for the quote for the man, investing into that 401k, like having that automatically come out of your paycheck, to Paulette's point, before you see it, has got to be a big part of your winning strategy.
Well, yes. Has I won a lot? No, but seriously.
But you've been able to save a lot, I would think.
And you've got to start slow. It helps to start slowly. So when you're just starting out, you start it, maybe you only pull out 1 or 2% or 3, or at least to the company match, right? And then with each raise, take a little bit of that raise and add it to your investing and have that automatically pulled out. It's totally painless. What's nice about the 401k is that also helps you kind of get your toe in the water in investing. You don't have to focus so much on individual stocks. You can buy the funds within the various funds within the IRAs. And then as you get older and a little more savvy and do your research, you can branch out. You can open up maybe your own IRA with various stocks in it. Or you can, once you do that and you have your IRA set up, you can have your own non-qualified accounts. And you can do that, and then you can really focus on those stocks that maybe you want to play around with and have a little bit of speculative fun, I call it. Maybe take less than 1% of your total net worth and have fun and pick a high flyer and see if you can't win that lottery pick, you know?
I love that idea of it doesn't always have to go to the same place. You can move that automation around. It's like you have it pointed in a different direction or have it pointed in multiple directions. I feel like people think the order of operations is I do this first, this second, this third, this fourth. I can actually be doing two or three things at the same time. In fact, Brooke Miller, again, the writer of our newsletter, The 201, hanging out with us here live on Fireside, says, I like the idea of automating savings, investing, and also having it deposited to a separate account, not checking the bank account so that you never see it. So take that money and automatically have it in a different account so that you know that is not commingled with your spending money. Brian, I'm wondering, how has this helped you? How has automation helped you in your investing game?
Oh, I'm a huge fan of automation. I love what Paul and Len have said. And what I personally do is I basically automate all my retirement accounts. It's just comes out of my bank account, automatically goes in there. I never have to think about it. I look at it once a year. That is just the absolute way to go for the vast majority of people. So huge fan of automation. I also automate contributions to my taxable brokerage account that I use to buy individual stocks. So yeah, automation is such a win for investors.
Do you, using automation, do you have any triggers set up for your stocks? Like as an example, I'm thinking about stop losses underneath them, or do you use anything like alerts when they're in the news, things like that?
So I call stop loss orders, stop compounding orders, because I think they're terrible inventions for investors. What you're essentially saying is only sell when you know I'm going to be down. That does not sound like a winning investing strategy. In fact, if I look back at some of the biggest winners that I've ever held, if I had stop loss orders set up, I would have been guaranteed to sell out of them, but there's no guarantee that I ever would have bought back into them. If you're going to invest in individual stocks like I do, if that's a part of your strategy, you just have to know going in that you are going to experience big time volatility. Even the most stable, largest companies on earth are still going to fall 30, 40, 50% at some point. If you have an automatic thing set up to automatically sell them, you're going to be selling at the wrong time. So I am not a fan of stop loss orders.
Len, how about your tip for everybody to have a better investment portfolio in 2022?
Mine is don't be afraid, and you got to have fun. So especially for the newbies out there, I think I've shared this before. One of my big mistakes was early on in my career is I didn't invest as much as I probably should have because I was afraid I would actually lose money in the, you know, which is possible. But, you know, I'd have been much better off fully maximizing at a much quicker rate than I did. So have fun. This is, you know, yes, you can lose money, but over the long run, you are going to do well and make money if you just get in there and do it. And don't be afraid. It's something that has to be done.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Not just not be afraid, but also making it fun. And Paulette, I'm wondering if that's part of your strategy. Do you try to make investing a good time? Do you put an umbrella in your drink and then go invest some money?
Oh, totally. Before the pandemic, I had a podcast called Can We Talk About Money? And I did a dinner party and we would all do our monthly money check-in. But it was just like five money idiots. Like we needed at least one expert, but we were like, what's a money market? And we would just like be with each other. So it would be social. We'd have good food. We'd have wine. And I still think that pairing something pleasurable with something that can feel stressful is a really great way to get in the habit of doing it, right? Take yourself out to brunch once a month and say, okay, I'm going to read for half an hour about investing, look at my portfolio, and that's like my monthly date with myself to take care of this. That is huge when things don't feel very fun.
Something pleasurable with something stressful. Huh.
Yeah.
There's like three jokes there, Joe. Should I just say them now or should I wait till?
You should wait till after, okay, you're alone.
Absolutely. Till you're alone.
You just wanted to.
Brian, save us. Making investing fun. I mean, I know this is part of why you're so social, I would imagine, is it makes it not just profitable, but a good time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Having a community of people to talk with and socialize with about investing, it makes it so much more pleasurable. I actually try and make investing a lot of fun for my kids too. At my kids' elementary school, I go in there once a year and twice a year actually, and I do a fun stock investing contest with them. And I'm talking about companies that they all know and love: Apple, Disney, Netflix, Nike, etc. The kids are so engaged in the content because I'm talking about companies that they know and that they like and that they can have opinions about. So it's absolutely imperative that you make investing fun.
And we're not going to stop there. Paulette's had hers. Len has had his. What is your point to make your portfolio better in 2022?
I always start with education. That is the trigger for me. I think that if you're just starting out, the number one thing that everybody can do to make their portfolio better, to their finances better, is just to start by educating themselves. How does the stock market work? Where should you put your money? How should you actually do it? What people should you trust? You can make those kind of informative decisions once you have a financial education. So I'm going to say make yourself better by educating yourself.
Paulette, what are some of the things that you've done to dive into money education? Because I mean, not only do you write in this space, I follow your awesome Instagram feed. I know you're following a lot of great people in this space. What do you do to make sure you're educated?
Well, I really love following so many of the content creators who are making it fun, including you guys, Dumpster Doggy, you know, Stephanie O'Connell. I think just having it be in your space, you know, I was actually trying to kind of lecture my nephew about investing, who's 18 now. And I was like, wait, just give me your phone. And I took his Instagram and I just followed all these people that I wanted to be in his feed. And looking at what they're reading, you know, for me, I'm a very social person, but I'm a writer. So I'm always looking for ways when I want to do something, whether it's exercise or learning, to make it social. So, you know, having a book club with friends, having a dinner party once you can with COVID, really just saying, hey, let's all go toward this goal together. And for me, you know, I really want to make sure that writers make good money, save their money, and are financially safe. And so I think like talking about it and being open about it, and I'm very transparent about, you know, all my money challenges and things like that in my past. But it's not easy. It's very complicated. So we can all kind of just want to like, you know, hide under a rock, but that's really not going to have a great ending, which I have seen firsthand interviewing people who went broke in, you know, in their retirement. So.
Well, and that's why I love, Paulette, where you sit at this intersection of creativity and finance on a lot of the things you do, not everything you do, but on a lot of the projects that you work in, because creative people, I think feel like they're bad with money. And mm-hmm. So when they earn money, which often is less money than someone who's an engineer or a physician will make, or whatever that may be, they need to be even more careful with it. And they need to learn that this isn't hard. So making it fun, I think, is super important for creatives especially.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have so many things to say. Like, there's creativity, you know, add so much value to the world. And there are so many great ways for us to make good money and support ourselves. But also, yes, we're not going to make as much as a doctor or an engineer often. And so, you know, we do have to be careful and frugal in some ways. And I love artists and writers, and I want them to have this great self-value and also be taken care of and not be worried. Because I'll tell you, the number one reason that I don't write my morning pages or I don't work on my novel in the first thing in the morning is because I'm stressed out about money and I want to get straight to my work day. Yeah. So the more that I have my money handled, the more my brain is free and my stress is lower so that I can get into that creative mode.
Boy, that's just true for so many people. All right. That's going to do it for today. Let's see what's going on where all of you live. We'll go with our guest of honor last. And Paulette's kind of a guest, kind of not a guest. So she'll be in the middle. So Mr. Penzo.
This week on LenPenzo.com, the engineer in me, I'm always looking at new ways to figure things out. And, you know, there's always this lingering question people have about, should I buy the extended warranty? Should I? I don't know. You know, there's the rule of thumb is you should never buy them, but it's not really that simple. So as the engineer that I am, I put together a flow diagram that you can use that will lead you to the right answer depending on what you've purchased. And it's just you go through, answer a series of questions, and at the end, you know whether you should buy or should not buy the extended warranty.
That's awesome.
It is pretty awesome, if I do say so myself.
Not as good as when you did the flow chart about which Pez tastes best. but pretty close. Now, that would be that would be an awesome flow chart, by the way.
I kind of wish Paula was here because, you know, usually I have to follow, you know, right. It's hard to follow her with all of her fantastic guests and stuff. But that one I could have said, you know, I'm proud of this one, Joe. I'm really proud.
Well, you are. You can still be proud of it and go first. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes. And if you're inferring that Paulette and Brian don't have great things going on, they do.
But you know how past, you know, I've had to follow Paul after she's had these fantastic guests, and I'm talking about potato chip taste tests and stuff.
Right.
It just doesn't work very well.
Paul's like, I don't afford anything. Nuclear scientist so-and-so, four-time Pulitzer Prize winner. Speaking of Paulette Perhatch, you're creating some Pulitzer Prize winners because you have a new writing course coming out.
Yes, we are launching Powerhouse Writers, which is for writers who want to power their words, their work, and their earning potential. And so, you know, people like me who are creative goofball writers, you know, this morning I got up at 5 a.m., worked on my novel, $0 an hour, and then did a satire piece, which I might sell for like $40, and then worked on my, you know, money-making writing work and have a fun day. And every day is different. And I'm able to financially take care of myself and be an artist. So for writers who want to figure that out, how to be a business person and a writer, we are launching Powerhouse Writers. And people can find out more about that at powerhousewriters.com.
And we've known each other for, I'm thinking several years, and just watching you go from somebody who is very creative to really the business that you run now, Paulette, is amazing. And that's the side that writers, to your point earlier, need to get right.
And it's actually a fun creative expression. I think there's so many ways that you can do it. And I realized why I didn't want to go the route of academia, because I wanted to make my own thing. And the way that you can be a business person and bring value to people is a creative act in itself. And I love that reality of it. That's so fun to me. So I want to help people have fun as they, you know, have the fun of earning good checks and making good money. And, you know, like I spent New Year's because of the Profit First book. I did my fourth, you know, profit allocation and went and got a house on a cliff overlooking the ocean to spend New Year's in. And it was amazing. And I just, like, that is super fun to me.
You sent me a photo and I think I sent you back like going that view sucks. Like, I feel so bad for you. Like, all that expanse of water and beach. Oh,
oh my God. Well, I worked on a story this year for the New York Times about building a house up on a cliff. And I was like, and I understood what one of the women said. She was like, it's like an immensity. It's like, you can see everything. I was like, oh, I totally get it. So, you know, 10 years from now, I'll build the house on the cliff. But for now, it was an Airbnb.
Fantastic. Hey, and by the way, the URL again for people to join you
is powerhousewriters.com.
Awesome. And we'll link to it in our show notes page.
Thanks so much.
Brian Feraldi, two things. Number one, it was so great to meet you finally at FinCon. And the way that we met was just hilarious. We got to have breakfast together. And I think, Brian, I probably laugh more at that breakfast than I've laughed in a long time.
Yeah, awesome to meet you. We had a great time at FinCon. You got a double dose of me this year. We saw each other at Economy, too.
We did. And that was even, we got to sit and have pizza together and laugh some more, which is great.
That was good pizza.
It was such good pizza. And we had the Ladies from Bitches Get Riches sitting next to us, and they would chime in once in a while. And that was so fun. But tell me what you've got going on, because you always have a ton of stuff up your sleeve.
Oh, I got a big week. I just got a new super serious guide to modern money management that I bought, and I'm going to be reading through that cover to cover.
I heard that book's brilliant, Brian. Brilliant.
It looks brilliant on every level. No, just picked it up. Really looking forward to diving in. But big week for me. This is going to be, don't tell anybody, but we're announcing the pre-orders for my upcoming book are going to be live as well. So that is going to be basically consuming my entire week.
That is so exciting. And I, you know, I remember that as if it was just a few weeks ago for us. but we got to have you back on the second the book comes out to dive into that.
Would absolutely love to. This was an absolute blast.
Absolutely. And people follow you, just Brian Feraldi on Twitter, and then your YouTube channel. They also just put in your name, right?
That's right. I'm very obvious like that. Brian Feraldi. You can find me on the channels.
Very straightforward. We'll also link to those at stackybenjamins.com on our show notes page. All right. That's going to do it for today, everybody. Doug, you've got it from here, man. What should we have learned today?
Well, everybody, well, I'll tell you what you should have learned today. First, investing. Start with your goals and work backward, and the whole process becomes a lot easier. Second, if your big league goals don't jibe with your risk tolerance, don't be too proud to adjust your goals until the two become aligned, which is now why my beachside retirement home will become a tent in the back of my El Camino. But the big lesson? Paulette, perhaps, is the most graceful, smartest one I've ever met. Damn it, Paulette! Who let you back in the script? Jeez! Get out of my head! Thanks to Len Penzo for joining us today. You can find Len at lenpenzo.com. Thanks to Brian Feraldi for adding to our show today. You can check him out on YouTube at Brian Feraldi. That's Brian, F-E-R-O-L-D-I. Also on Twitter at Brian Feraldi. Thanks to Paulette Perhatch, who is the writer of our wonderful show. She helps writers power their words, their work, and their earning potential with her Powerhouse Writers coaching program. Find out more at powerhousewriters.com. Thanks also to our team who made today possible. Karen Rapine is our producer. Tina Eichenberg and Gertrude Smith are our social media mavens. And Brooke Miller handles the show notes and our amazing newsletter, The 201. That's it for today. We'll see you on Monday back here at Stacking Benjamins.
Welcome to the after show. This is the part of the show. If you're new with us in 2022, welcome. This is the part of the show that doesn't exist. We don't talk about the after show, but we had to create a new rule because people kept talking about it anyway. So if you have to mention what shenanigans go on here when the show's over, you just call it dessert. We'll call it dessert. We talked a lot about setting up great investments. I want to talk about your worst investment, and we're going to kind of expand the definition of investments. And, while our team is getting, ones together that they may have, I'll tell you one that was horrible for me. I went into a Midas muffler shop with my old, Monte Carlo Landau. Doug, do you remember this particular car? Do you remember the Monte Carlo Landau edition?
Well, the Landau was the upper trim package. Yes. I mean, that was a hell of a vehicle.
It was amazing. Wow. Except mine, I left the windows open one day too many, and the glue on the fabric on the ceiling stopped working. And so my ceiling hung down, you know, in a really badass kind of way. True mark of a baller.
That happens to the wallpaper in my bathroom too. I wonder if there's something to that.
If there's, that's because you don't put the window down. But that's a whole different thing. But so I go there and I've got this car that, you know, barely runs, and I'm just getting my muffler changed, and the manager comes into the waiting area and goes, "Hey, can I talk to you for a second?" Walks me back to my car. And he's like, "This car could be just beautiful. I'll tell you what we do first. We don't just do the muffler. We actually put a sport suspension package on this thing." And I go, "Really?" Now this car, I think I bought, now given this is 1983 or 84, bought this car for maybe $1,500. And he's talking to me about this super expensive sport suspension package, which is going to take all the money that I had with me, frankly. And I didn't even remember how much money it was. But he talks to me about how great my car is going to be, how fantastic it's going to look. And he's like, you know what? Next up for you will be the engine. Come back here. And he takes me into this back room, and he's got this engine block that he's got out that he's been working on, which is just this gorgeous V8 racing engine. It is phenomenal. It just sparkles. And he said, yeah, you can do something like this with it next. And this car could be amazing. And I went back out in that room, the bay where my car was. And I'm looking at this piece of crap car at 17 years old. Like, it is going to be the biggest rock star ever. Like, this is going to be just amazing. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And so I go back out in the waiting area. I tell him to do it. And I first knew that it was a bad investment when the receptionist takes out one of the old yellow pages and goes to the very back where they used to have the coupons. And she rips out a coupon and she goes, here, honey, you're going to need this. And I'm like, really? Why? She goes, well, because sometimes he gets a little excited about the work that we're going to do. And she's basically trying to tell me that I'm getting ripped off. Like, she's telling me. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's really nice. And I take my car home with my new super suspension, right? The thing's rusted all around it, but I got super suspension, got a new muffler. And I tell my dad this story. And he's like, you paid what? You did what? Valuable lesson about investing in your car.
But you could corner now at like 11 miles an hour.
It was incredible.
So tight.
Yeah, but because I didn't do the engine first, it still went to zero from 0 to 60 in about 14 minutes. But that's not too bad. We'll let our guest of honor go first if you've got one. Brian, got any notable bad investments?
Yeah, I have one that was a time investment and a money investment. Would the money one be more fun?
Well, I don't know. So fun is in the eye of the beholder. I haven't heard them yet.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll tell you about my biggest dollar mistake. How about that? In 2014, I started to research this company that's the biggest oil pipeline operator in North America. It's Kinder.
Can I stop you right there, though, before you say the name of the company? 2014, the company you should have been investigating was ARK Invest, because yes. Kathy Wood had just started it.
If only I put the time in, I could have nailed the trivia question, and that investment would have paid off huge.
Horribly wrong. But anyway, yes. Continue. Yeah.
So I was very interested in this company. It checked so many boxes when I look for in an investment. I became very convinced that this stock was going to go up, up, up. So I actually bought it and made my largest position, number one position. And then on top of that, at the time I was learning about options, which are just a wonderful, wonderful tool for new investors to get their hands on. And I set up a position, an option position, in addition to my stock ownership called a synthetic long. The long and short of that is it's basically pure leverage. It's zero cost leverage. Stock goes up, you make a ton of money. Stock goes down, you lose a ton of money. Well, I was so confident in the stock going up, up, up from where it was that I layered on options position on top of it because I thought that this company wouldn't fall even if the price of oil fell. That's how rock solid it was. Well, you can probably guess what's going to happen next. Over the next 18 months, the price of oil fell precipitously, and my rock solid, perfect, amazing company fell peak to trough about 75%. So not only did I get killed on the equity, I got killed twice as hard, maybe five times as hard on the options as well. So I had to tuck my tail between my legs and suck that loss up. And that was my biggest dollar loss ever. So I learned about options the hard way.
And that is, by the way, the story of what happened to Brian's hair right there.
And that is, ooh, taking cheap shots there, Joe.
Well, you've seen me. I'm no doubt. We could talk about. I lost my hair that day at Midas Muffler. So, yeah, not great. Paulette, how about you? In ugly bad investment.
Oh, I got a house in Florida in 2005.
And that's that could be the end of the sentence. That's right it. There.
The end. It's so what's interesting though, you know what's the even worse investment? How pouty I was about it. And so then I didn't save up for another house until like, you know, now. And I'm like, wow, I really could have had another down payment, but I was just like, meh.
Yeah.
That happened to me and I'm mad. And so screw houses and
I'll
teach
you housing market.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait till the market goes way through the roof. Then I'll get back.
I showed you and then it's like, no. But like I was extremely salty.
Well, you're saving for the house on the cliff.
Yeah. So yeah, I had to do a short sale and that I sold it for about half as much as I bought it for. Which is great. Yep.
That happened to a family member of mine too. They had made what at the time looked like, by the way, and I'm sure yours was the same, looked like a prudent decision. And
oh my God, it was the fastest growing. It's so crazy because I was in St. Augustine, Florida. Oh. It was the fastest growing county in the nation. And then now I'm in Seattle and it's like the same thing happened over here. And I'm just like, I can't deal.
I'm watching. I love the emojis here on Fireside and look at Rocky's emoji. Like, oh no. Rocky's.
The lesson here is don't look for a house wherever Paulette's living.
If you want the indicator, you know how back in the day they used to use those sticks to look for water? Like Paulette has the sticks about where not to buy a house.
She's the real estate dowser.
Is that what that's called, a dowser?
Wow,
yeah,
guys.
That's it. Len Penzo.
Let's call up my therapist. Len.
I guess Paulette was in Southern California back in the 1990 because I had the same mistake, Paulette. I was I bought a house 3 months later. The market went south, and I was underwater for 7 years. And it was terrible.
Was this the house?
I'm not going to share.
Wait a minute. Was this the house on the railroad tracks?
Yes, it was. Yes. But I'm not going to get it. That was my second worst investment. My first investment, and what sprung the idea here was Brian was talking about his worst dollar investment. Well, I'll give you my worst dollar investment. It wasn't that house that I was upside down for 7 years. No, this was something that I spent $1 on. It was a movie rental for The Good German, a movie with George Clooney and Kate Blanchett and Tobey Maguire. The only good thing about that movie was Tobey Maguire, and he was gunned down 20 minutes into the movie, and it was all downhill from there. That is the worst dollar investment I've ever made in my life.
At least you're not still bitter.
No. Well, yeah, that was many years ago.
Way to turn the page, Len.
Okay, so Brian and Paulette, you guys got the money that I sent, right? You guys are going to throw this. Is this thing on?
Len, you want him to tank? Is that what you want, Len? You want him to tank the answer here? Yeah.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Stackers, becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you earn more and save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than your standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you could start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal's savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project? Maybe you want to consolidate debt. You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity, with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing costs, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Both options could help make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loans subject to approval.